Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. And I'm trying to sort of make sure that I look into the camera. We are continuing with the book of Revelation. And I want us to remember that the book of Revelation was written to warn us. And why would Jesus want to warn us? Because Jesus loves us so much that he wants us to be with him forever and ever. And if you remember, last Sunday, Pastor Matt spoke about the church in Ephesus. And the writer John said that the main thing Jesus had against them was this, that the church in Ephesus had lost their first love. So John encouraged them to remember their first love, because as we all know, it is so easy to forget, especially after the passing of so many years, then to repent of their sins, because God said he will surely forgive when we come before him and repent before him, and then to rekindle their passion for God once again. This morning, we will continue to read about another two churches, the church in Smyrna and the church in Pergamon. Now, what was going on with these two churches? We are again told by John that these two churches were facing pressure and persecution from within and from outside the church, which caused them to not stand firm and compromise their faith in Jesus Christ. They were told to get ready for suffering, to stand firm in their faith, and to get rid of their idols, not to compromise their faith. I'm sorry, just that there's some technical difficulties, and KS is trying to help me to get back to the main screen. Thank you. So let us consider Smyrna, which was a very rich seaport, enjoying great wealth and great stability. The people were wealthy, but the Christians living there felt constant financial stress, as seen in verse 9, where Jesus said, "I know your tribulation and your poverty." And they were trying their hardest to do well in society, but it was difficult because from within the church, they also felt constant pressure from the Jews who opposed Christianity, who wanted the Christians to conform and live like them. Thus, it was pressure caused by the anti-Christians, the culture that they were living in. The Christians were facing pressure to live in a life that is conforming to the world. They were living in a hostile environment and were under constant pressure. Now, doesn't this sound familiar to us? We are also facing pressure from inside and outside the church. There is so much pressure for us Christians to conform today. We tend to look at what is the measure of success for us, being what is socially acceptable, doing what is politically correct, rather than doing what is morally right in the sight of God. With regards to Pergamon, John identified the city as a prominent city, which from an early time supported the cult of emperor worship, as well as the worship of various pagan gods. In fact, John wrote this, that Pergamon was known as a city where Satan's throne is situated and where Satan dwells. Wow, can you imagine that? And he said that in verse 13. Many people worship various pagan gods, like the god of fertility, god of the earth, and so on. So idol worship was rampant and it was everywhere. That was the social and religious culture at that time. Therefore, the Christians felt tremendous pressure to conform and worship idols themselves. They did not want to seem different from those around them. I wouldn't. They were not denying God, spelled with a capital G. They were just pressured to have small gods, idols in addition to God. And a few weeks ago in my class, my professor mentioned this to me. He said, there are some gods that we carry in our pockets, but there's only one God who carries us, and that is the one and that is the one true God, Yahweh. How right he is. In the same way today, we live at a time where our culture is becoming increasingly hostile towards Christians. We feel a tremendous amount of pressure to conform in the four main areas of our lives: financial, political, social, spiritual. Therefore, we also feel the pressure to conform and take on some idols ourselves, which is what happened to the Israelites, as we learned through Balak and Balaam. We are not denying our faith in Christ. We are just tempted to take on some idols on the side. Someone once said that our human heart is an idol factory because it churns out so many idols, because we can make idols out of anything and everything. An idol is anything that lures us away from God. When we pay more attention to it or rely upon it rather than on God, then that becomes an idol. If, like me, you feel the pressure of living in a society that is becoming increasingly hostile towards us Christians, then we need to pay special attention to God's message to us this morning. Essentially, God is telling us two things. If we want to be faithful to God, then we need, firstly, to get ready for suffering, which is to stand firm, and secondly, to get rid of hidden idols, which is not to compromise on our faith. Let us now turn our attention to these two churches and read together Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 17. Let us stand. To the church in Smyrna. And to the church, to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. To the church in Pergamon, and to the angel of the church in Pergamon write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, our one true God, in you and in you only we have salvation, and in you only we have your perfect love. And because you love us so much, you want to warn us, you want us to get ready, you want us to be prepared, so that when the time comes, we will stand firm and not compromise. We pray this morning that you open our hearts to receive your word, you open our ears so that we hear what it is that you want to tell each one of us. Father God, may the meditation of our hearts and the word of my mouth be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord and my God. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. Please be seated. So, if we want to stand firm and not compromise on our faith, the first thing we need to do is we need to get ready for suffering. Are we ready for intense persecution where we might be put into jail, be tortured, or even be killed? Is our faith in God strong enough to be tested by persecution? The truth is, we don't really know until we are tested. For example, be put in jail for our faith. However, we can prepare ourselves by making sure that we know whom we believe in, by being more familiar with Scripture, by developing a regular prayer life so that we have a deeper relationship with Jesus. We also prepare ourselves for suffering by paying attention to our fears. During Martin King Luther's days, when the African Americans were being persecuted for their peaceful protests, the leaders were smart. They got the demonstrators ready by training them to face their fears. Fears of persecution. They would have mock demonstrations where people would shout at them, spit at them, and even throw water on them and throw things at them as well. So as a result, they were able to stand firm when it actually happens. In the same way today, we might not hold any mock persecution, but we can try to prepare ourselves mentally and emotionally so that when suffering does come, we are not surprised by it. You might ask the question, so why do we need to get ready for suffering? Well, the Bible tells us that if we follow Jesus Christ, we can expect to suffer for our faith. Therefore, it is prudent that we prepare, as preparation is the key to guiding an outcome. And as we all know, practice makes perfect. Like sports teams, soccer team, swim team, volleyball team, the athletes practice, so that during the actual competition, they are ready to face whatever unexpected tactics that come about by the opposing team. So the Christians in Smyrna were relatively poor while living in a financially strong city. We are not told here why they were poor. Perhaps some of them have lost their jobs, or perhaps some of them had their jobs removed or their finances taken away by those in authority. But we can see that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, Paul wrote, "For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one." Although they were physically poor, in verse 9, they were spiritually rich. Isn't that amazing? And the angel mentioned here is warning the believers of Smyrna to get ready to suffer. In verse 10, the angel says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer." They were about to suffer even greater financial or physical stress or persecution. Then it says here that some of them will be cast into prison. Warnings are important so that we can prepare ourselves and are not caught by surprise. At the height of the civil rights movement, peaceful protesters were being prepared, again, to face harsh treatment by going through mock persecutions. They had training centers where the protesters would be isolated, with people shouting insults at them, spitting on them, throwing water on them. And because of their preparation, many of them were able to stand firm when the anti-protesters did exactly that and much worse. Today, we might not have this type of mock persecutions held at our church here or at training centers, but nevertheless, we need to prepare ourselves for persecution. It is not if, but when the suffering will happen. We all have fears about persecution, especially being tortured, because we see many movies about prisoner of war being tortured. But our God is a good God, because God says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." We may not necessarily be physically and materially poor, but I believe that if we are to stand firm in God, we will suffer financial stress and also being shunned by people in days to come because of our faith. In fact, for some people, it is already happening. For example, during, as a culture, during Christmas time, businesses are no longer encouraged to say Merry Christmas. Instead, they're encouraged to say Happy Holidays, because that is more politically correct. And some businesses who do not use Merry Christmas simply because they fear financial retaliation, because offended shoppers will not go to their shops to buy things. If you are a business owner, what is your stance? Will you conform to the expectations of culture or choose to suffer the consequences? Therefore, we need to get ready. We need to be ready. You and I need to be ready for suffering. We need to be prepared so that we can stand firm when persecution comes. However, you may ask, how do we do that? So one of the ways we can prepare ourselves is by looking at those who have gone before us. We need to look at their examples and be encouraged by their steadfastness so that when it is our turn, we can emulate them. And I want to show you three short video clips at this time to just show Christians being persecuted and who stood firm and what happened after that. Firstly, I want to mention that the first video shows a raid taking place. The authorities were waiting outside and waiting to go in. The second video clip shows the authorities hauling off some Christians with some Christians fighting back. And the third video shows the people being taken away have been released and returning home to their loved ones. Let us take a look at the video clips. Wow, having seen these three short video clips, we can tell that a life in Christ is not easy. A life in Christ is filled with difficult challenges, but it is indeed life-changing. I hope you're inspired by these amazing video clips, by their steadfastness in the midst of persecution. Brothers and sisters, let us get ready for suffering. We need to be ready so that when persecution comes, we will be able to stand firm and not compromise. The next major point that I want to touch on is getting rid of hidden idols. Not only do we need to get ready for suffering, we also need to get rid of hidden idols. And this is the message the angel had for the church in Pergamon. The city of Pergamon was known as a city of pagan worshippers, which include emperor worship. The emperor was considered a god. Jesus commended the Pergamon Christians for standing strong and holding onto their faith in Jesus, even unto death, like the example of the faithful follower Antipas. He was killed because he was faithful to Jesus. But Jesus said he had one thing against them, because there was a group of them who were holding on to secret idols. And in verse 14, Jesus said, some were holding on to the teachings of Balaam, which was similar to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. For instance, in Numbers, in the book of Numbers in chapter 25, it was written, while Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab. These invited the people, that's the Israelites, to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked himself to Baal of Peor. And in Numbers chapter 31, verse 16 says, behold, this on Balaam's advice caused the people of Israel to act treacherously. So Balaam put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel. Balaam lured the Israelites to eat things, eat food, sacrificed to idols. Balaam lured them to commit acts of immorality. The Christians who did not follow the practices of the people in Pergamum, they were persecuted, and some were even put to death and martyred. And those who followed the teachings of the Nicolaitans and Balaam, they believed that there was nothing wrong with what they had heard, and they wanted to follow them to escape persecution and to blend in with the secular world. The teaching of Balaam promoted compromise with the pagan worship of idols. The Israelites were led to compromise their faith and married outside of their faith community, and they engaged in sexual immorality and lust. They thought they could worship God and yet at the same time enjoy some of the practices of idol worship. Friends, we cannot have both. We cannot do both. We cannot pledge allegiance to this land of America and then secretly give aid to her enemies. That is called treason, a crime punishable by life imprisonment. In the same way, we cannot pledge our allegiance to God and then secretly engage in what idol worship. Our faith will not stand. Our faith cannot stand. We cannot dabble with idol worship and stand firm in our faith. It does not work that way. If we want to stand firm in our faith, we need to get rid of our hidden idols. So, what are some of the hidden idols in our lives? God said that the human heart takes good things like a successful career, physical beauty, health, love, family, and turn them into ultimate things, into the center of our lives, something that gives us security and significance. You know, the list goes on. And they are hidden because no one knows about them. Only you and God, only me and God knows about all these things. By itself, there's nothing wrong with watching movies. I enjoy watching movies. I enjoy watching television or even playing online games or socializing with friends. But when we become addicted, when we just allow these things to consume our minds, to take over our minds, and when we constantly think about them all the time, or we do them all the time, then that creates a problem for us. We rob God of our attention. We rob God of our time. So these are idols because we look to them as the hope, the meaning, and the fulfillment that only God can provide. When we compromise and say, it does not matter, then we're headed for trouble because we begin to tolerate what God's word warns us against. So do you have any hidden idols? If you do, how do you get rid of them? We get rid of our hidden idols firstly by identifying them. We need to admit to ourselves and to God that we have them. In verse 16, the angel says, behold, repent. So repentance is absolutely necessary. And to repent literally means to stop. But it's not just stop. Repentance involves stopping, turning around, and going in the opposite direction. We need to stop worshiping our hidden idols. We need to turn around and go towards God. Because only God can provide. Only God can give us fulfillment. So it is not just enough to stop filling our time or preoccupation with idols. We need to replace these thoughts, this preoccupation with one that is God-centered in all aspects of our lives. And at this time, I want to share with you a personal testimony. And this happened when I was still in an American church. But before that, I need to go back to when my first son was born. He was a son. And in the Chinese culture, that is so important, you know, because the son carries on the family name. So I was happy, I was excited, I was elated, and I thank God for his goodness. When my second child was born, I thank God again for his goodness because my second child was a daughter. So I thought, that's perfection. A son and a daughter, there's nothing more that I need that completed my happiness. And then I had another son and another son. How rich I felt, how blissful I felt. I had friends coming to me and say, oh, you are so lucky. Oh, God must be with you. You know, and even people I don't know, you have four children and you have three sons? Wow, you know. And as my four children grew older, my time was spent tirelessly on them. The minute I wake up, it was, okay, how can I help them to be more intelligent? How can I help them to be better at sports? How can I help them? What can I do? What can I feed them? You know, my mind was just so consumed with my four children. And one day, I begin to realize that my mind was just on my four children. God was out of my mind. But thank God for His grace and His mercy. One of these sermons that the pastor was preaching on one Sunday was about idols, children as idols. And that was something that God was displeased with. I was heartbroken when I heard that. I cried. The Holy Spirit caused me to acknowledge my sin, and I repented and replaced that wrongful focus with worship of God. I realized that through the regular reading of God's Word, meditation, prayer, gathering together in Christian fellowship, helped me to understand that I must be willing to put God first, to trust God with my children by letting them go, because God loves them even more than I do, and to find my peace in God's will and in God's love. And I want to end with this quote. Someone said, "A counterfeit God is anything so central and essential to your life that should you lose it, your life would feel hardly worth living." And God exposes our dependence upon these idols because He loves us. He exposes the failure of idols to bring lasting satisfaction. All idols ultimately disappoint us. All idols ultimately enslave us. And how true that is. So let's get rid of our hidden idols that have taken place in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, and to replace that with what belongs rightfully to God and God alone. Friends, we are facing the end times. Will Jesus find us standing firm in our faith? If we want to stand firm in our faith, we need to be ready for suffering. We also need to get rid of our hidden idols. Before I do the closing prayer, I just want to mention that later on in our breakout rooms, we want everyone to discuss the following points, which is list as many idols that we can see in our different cultures, and then which ones do we identify with, why, when, how do they impact us, and end with prayer for one another. And I pray that you'll be blessed by these practical questions and application. Let us bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that it's because of your love for each and every one of us that you want to warn us of the consequences that if we do and we are lured by hidden idols, and when we are not prepared, we won't be able to stand firm in our faith. So Father God, help us to see these two churches as examples of your love for them and your love for us. We want to declare that you are Jehovah, our Lord and our God. We want to declare that you are Jehovah Elohim, our Creator. You created each and every one of us. So you love us because you created us. Help us to be transformed by the reading of your word. May the transformation not just take place in our minds, but also in our hearts and in our spirit, so that we can come and draw near to you. And we know that we can, because you, God, are the way maker. You, God, are our promise keepers. You have never broken any promise that you have given to us. Mm-hmm. So help us to look unto you, to look unto your promises, so that when persecution comes, we can stand firm, we can stand strong, and we will lift up all the idols that we have to you, knowing that you will surely forgive, knowing that you will help us. So we thank you, and we want to just pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.